I believe that J.B. Phillips was right in saying that many people have an inadequate concept of God. I think it is because people have not read the Bible and they do not read the Bible. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to us. It is true that you can never know God exhaustively. That would be like putting God in a box. But you can know a lot about God, and you can know God because He has revealed Himself to us. What I'm concerned about tonight is that just like there is a widespread misunderstanding of God, there is a widespread misconception about Jesus Christ. Far too many people have an inadequate understanding of who Christ is and what He has done. It appears that false teachers had come into this church at Colossae, and they were teaching that Christ is all right to start out with, but you need to add something else to Christ. And so Paul is teaching us in this passage that Christ is preeminent and sufficient, and that Christ is all you need. Now, in saying that Christ is all you need, I'm not denying that you have other temporal needs. All of us have temporal needs. We need a job, and we need food, and we need shelter, and we need a car, and we need medicine, and we need those kind of things to get along in this world. But I'm speaking in an ultimate sense. All you need is Christ. So why is Christ all you need? Well, let's look at our text for tonight and find out. First of all, Christ is all you need because Christ is the image of the invisible God. Verse 15 says, He is the image of the invisible God. This word image is a word that has two ideas behind it. One is the idea of likeness. Image means likeness. When you look in the mirror, you see an image of yourself. You see a likeness of yourself reflected in that mirror. The other idea is the idea of a manifestation of an objective display. Christ is God objectified. He is the image of the invisible God. God is spirit. And by nature, we cannot see God because He is invisible. We can't see Him. He doesn't have a body like we do, but Christ is the image of the invisible God. He has manifested. He has represented to us what the invisible God is like. Christ has made the invisible God visible because He is God in the flesh. What did Jesus say to His disciples in John chapter 14? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. If you had known Me, you would have known the Father also. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. And Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be enough for us. And Jesus said to Philip, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know Me, Philip? Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus said, whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. You can't get any clearer than that. Why is Christ all you need? Secondly, because Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Verse 15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That expression, firstborn of all creation, might suggest that the Lord Jesus Christ had a beginning because the word first is involved in it. And born. And first may suggest that there was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ did not exist. There was a controversy in the early church called the Arian controversy that laid a great deal of stress upon this particular passage of Scripture because it talks about Christ being the firstborn. Arius said there was a time when Jesus did not exist, denying His eternal sonship because He was a creature. And the great opponent of Arius was Athanasius. Athanasius from Alexandria argued on the basis of the very next verse that Christ is not a part of the creation. He is not a created being. Notice how verse 16 begins. It begins with the word "for." So it supports or explains verse 15. Christ is the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created. If Paul were trying to say that Christ was a part of creation, he would not have supported it by saying that Christ created all things. Verse 16 clearly teaches that Christ is the firstborn of all creation, not in the sense that He is part of creation, but in the sense that He is over creation. If all the creatures were created by Him, as it says in verse 16, He is not one of the creatures, because if all the creatures were created by Him, He's not one of them. He's not a creature. He's the Creator of all the creatures. And Athanasius prevailed, and the Council of Nicaea produced that great statement called the Nicene Creed that is reproduced in the back of our Trinity hymnal along with the Apostles' Creed. And the Nicene Creed says, "The Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things were made." And they placed a curse on those who said that Christ was created or of another substance than the Father, or alterable or mutable. The Lord Jesus may be called the firstborn of the whole creation, but not in the sense that there was a time when He entered into existence so far as His person is concerned. The term "firstborn" is used in Scripture with reference to superiority in rank or position. And the idea here is that Christ is superior in rank to anything within the created order. He is the Lord of creation without any rival. Why is Christ sufficient? Why is He all that you need? Thirdly, because Christ is the Creator of all things. Verse 16 says, "For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." We've already touched on this in the previous point. The Lord Jesus is the eternal Son, and He is the Creator of the creatures. In Him, the whole created universe came into its existence. And there are three prepositions in verse 16 that are important with reference to Christ being the Creator of all things. The first one is "by Him," or your version might say "in Him." And the second is... The first one is "by Him" or "in Him all things were created." The second is "through Him all things were created." And the third is "for Him all things were created." Those three prepositions are in verse 16. By Him or in Him, through Him, and for Him. Here's what it means. Christ is the architect of creation. Creation was conceived in Him, that is, in His mind. Christ is the builder of creation. He is the one who actually did the construction of all things. And then Christ is the one for whom creation exists. All things are created for Him to enjoy. I've seen it illustrated as if Christ were an artist and the creation is His work of art or His painting. He is the one who conceived of the painting in His mind. He is the one who painted the painting on the canvas. And He is the one who puts it on display, and all creation looks at it and marvels at the work of the artist who painted it, who is Christ. Why is Christ all you need? Fourthly, because Christ is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Verse 17 says, "And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." There are two things here. He is before all things. He existed prior in time to anything else that exists. Now, this does not necessarily say that He is eternal, but this, along with other passages of Scripture, do teach the eternality of Christ. It is because He is eternal that He is before all things. Before He ever came into this world incarnate, He existed eternally as the Son of God. In Him all things hold together. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the cohesion of the universe, without which there would be chaos. If the Son of God were to relax His sustaining power for 1 second, this whole universe would fly into total confusion and chaos. He is the one who holds it all together. Why is Christ all you need? Because Christ is the head of the body, the church. Verse 18 says, "And He is the head of the body, the church." The church is a multitude of people called out of the world to belong to Christ. We make up a body. The analogy of a human body is used in the Scriptures for the church. We as the church are, in a sense, the hands and the feet and the voice of Christ in the world today. The whole church is the body of Christ, and each local church is the body of Christ. We are many members with different functions. Christ is the one and only head. Nobody else functions as the head. He is the head. The head of the church is not in Atlanta, down at the PCA headquarters. The head of the church is not in Nashville. The head of the church is not in Washington, D.C. The head of the church is not in London or Rome, where the Pope lives. The head of the church is in heaven. Christ is the head, and we do what He tells us to do. Why is Christ all you need? Well, sixthly, because Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Verse 18 says, "He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent." There are three things in that verse. Christ is the beginning. That refers to the fact that He is the source of our lives. He is the, in context, I believe that it refers to the fact that He is the source of church life. He is the firstborn from the dead. And that, of course, refers to His resurrection. There have been other people who were raised from the dead only to die again, such as Lazarus. Christ is the only one who raised from the dead in a resurrected, glorified body. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is preeminent over all things. And that refers, I think, to His exaltation at the right hand of God the Father after He rose from the dead and ascended back into heaven. Why is Christ all you need? In the seventh place, because Christ is the fullness of God dwelling in a body. Verse 19 says, "For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Now, we've already talked about the deity of Christ, and this passage is overflowing with the deity of Christ, that Christ is indeed God. In becoming a man, God limited Himself, so there are necessarily limitations on God in a human body. It had to be so for Him to come into this world and live as a man. But inasmuch as God could be contained in a human body, that is Christ. At this point in the passage, there may be a reference to the saving fullness of Christ. In Him, all the saving fullness, all the saving power, all the saving grace was pleased to dwell. Why is Christ all you need? Well, Finally, because Christ is the agent of reconciliation. Verse 20 through 23 says, "And through Him to reconcile Him to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." These verses are about reconciliation. The word reconcile means to change completely, to remove hostility, to restore harmony. What we're talking about here with the term reconcile is that it means to bring a person from a position and an attitude of enmity to a position and an attitude of friendship. That is, those who were enemies are made friends by reconciliation. And this reconciliation here is for the Colossians and God. Paul is talking about the Colossians being reconciled to God. But it's not only for the Colossians and God. It's for us. We are the ones who were once alienated, who are now reconciled to God. This passage speaks of four things with regard to reconciliation. There is the need for reconciliation. There's the means of reconciliation. There is the goal of reconciliation. And there is the evidence of reconciliation. So I briefly want to say something about each one of those points. The need for reconciliation is stated in verse 21. Verse 21 says, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." We need reconciliation because we are alienated from God and we are enemies with God. It is our sin that alienates us from God and makes us enemies with God. You may be wondering why verse 20 says, "And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." And the reason it says all things in heaven and on earth is because, as you know, the sin of Adam brought a curse on the whole creation. The whole creation suffers under the effects of sin, and the whole creation will one day be reconciled to God through Christ. And we'll see that when we get to the end of the book of Revelation, when there is a new heaven and new earth. The means of reconciliation is stated in verse 22. And verse 22 says, "He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him." And verse 20 adds, "by the blood of His cross." It is by His death on the cross, the shedding of His blood, that we are reconciled. In the 11th century, Anselm, Bishop of Canterbury, wrote a book entitled Cur Deus Homo. And that is a Latin phrase that means, why God became man? Why did God become man? And in that book, Anselm basically stated that God became man in order to reconcile us to God. He argued that only Jesus Christ could make a satisfactory atonement for man's sin and reconcile us to God, because He fulfilled the necessary requirements of both God and man. God and man needed to be reconciled, and Christ was God and man in the same body that was crucified. He had to be God in order to be sinless so that He could atone for sins. He had to be man in order to die. He had to be God in order for His sacrifice to be of infinite value. He had to be man in order to die for men. An animal cannot be a and a proper substitute for a man. A man needs to be a substitute for a man. So it is the sacrificial death of Christ that reconciliation is wrought for us. The goal of reconciliation is stated in verse 22. And verse 22 says, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. What is the goal? The goal is to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. We are positionally holy and righteous right now by virtue of the justification by faith in Christ. One day we will be presented to God in perfect righteousness. But since this is the goal, we are to be headed in that direction now in this life. We are to be striving to be as holy and as blameless and as above reproach as it is possible in this body of flesh. The evidence of reconciliation is found in verse 23. Verse 23 says, If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. I don't think that he meant that the gospel had been proclaimed to every person under heaven, but it is for, in a general sense, it had been proclaimed throughout the Roman Empire, and it is for the whole entire world. That if in verse 23 is not a condition, but an assumption. It's not to be read, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, then you will earn for yourself reconciliation with God. It is to be read as an assumption that genuine faith will continue stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. There has to be faith in Christ for the hope of the gospel that you heard. And then continuance is a test of reality. Continuance in the faith is the proof of genuine faith. So this presents us with a challenge to examine ourselves, to see that our faith is genuine, and to preserve in faith in Christ. May God truly help us to do that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for reconciling us who were once Your enemies, alienated and hostile to You, for reconciling us to Yourself by the blood and death of Christ on the cross. We thank You for giving us everything that we need in Christ. We will not look for something else beyond Him, for He is preeminent and He is all sufficient. Grant that we might continue by Your grace in faith until we are presented holy and blameless and above reproach in heaven. Finally, amen. So...